Well, we're going to continue with our study of the Lord's Prayer, which is what we're working through at the moment. We're working through the prayer as in Matthew chapter 6. So let's just stand and pray it together as we start, okay? Going to come up on the screen for you. Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. As earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well done. That was wonderful. Praise the Lord Jesus. And we're going to focus this afternoon on verse 10, which is your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for being amongst us this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for just your wonderful blessing to us. Thank you for this prayer. I pray, Lord, that you just help us to understand it in a deeper way. I pray, Lord, that you would be honest as we talk about your kingdom coming. Lord, let your kingdom come, even as we talk about it, Lord. Let your kingdom come amongst us this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was reading about a German pastor called Helmut Thielick, who was preaching through the Lord's Prayer in Stuttgart, Germany, during the Second World War. And in 1944, both Stuttgart was bombed and his church was reduced to rubble. I don't know if you can imagine what that must have been like to turn up to your church service and find that the church has been destroyed, that homes around and people have died, and what you would have said. What would you have said? What would you have preached on? I found myself thinking about that. The only thing I can compare it to is when Princess Diana was killed. Do you remember that? It was on a Sunday and I was leading worship that morning. And just, oh, what do you sing? How do you celebrate? How do you lead the church in worship? So I was interested to see how he began his sermon on that morning. And it was recorded and he began it like this. He says, "Isn't there a comfort, a peculiar message in that after all the uncontrolled fire that has swept through our wounded city, a sermon can still begin with these words? We shall continue in our study of the Lord's Prayer. We don't need to interrupt and search the Bible for texts appropriate to catastrophe. The words of the Lord's Prayer are immediate to every situation of life. The Lord's Prayer encompasses the whole world and therefore it includes us too in this terrible, exceptional situation of life in which we are all involved." And you know, I agree with him. I agree with him. The words of the Lord's Prayer are immediate for every situation of life. Whatever you're going through today, the Lord's Prayer is appropriate. It encompasses the whole world. Whatever's going on in the world today, the Lord's Prayer is appropriate. And we're nowhere near the exceptional situation that Reverend Thielick found himself in there with the church. Although some pretty big things are happening in our nation at the moment. If you just look around and see the number of things that are happening that are nationwide, big moral, political, and social questions are being asked at the moment. What about gay marriage? Is it right? Unregulated bankers, can they be trusted? The NHS, can we afford it? Our politicians, can they actually do anything about the huge global financial crisis we find ourselves in? And what about other nations? Asylum seekers, poverty, the subjugation of peoples, what's our responsibility to them? What should be our involvement? Should we get involved? Can we afford to? Iraq and Afghanistan would say no, but then can we afford not to? If you look at North Korea and Iran, it seems to say, well, we've got to get involved. There's some stuff going on there that's going to threaten the whole world. And then there are things in our own lives things that we face day to day, even amongst us today. Undoubtedly, there are going to be some people facing job insecurity, family challenges, financial hardships, sickness. I mean, sickness is probably the reason why some people aren't here today. And for many, even among us, it might feel like you've been bombed and your life is a bit is rubble. And so there are all sorts of reasons why we must pray this prayer and ask God to intervene. We really need to, for ourselves, for our church, and for our nation. We need for His kingdom to come. We need for His will to be done on earth today. We need that to happen. But what does it really mean? What does it really mean for God's kingdom to come? And I've got to say, this is actually a huge subject, and it would be ambitious of me to possibly even attempt to tackle the kingdom of God in one talk, but I'm going to have a go. And my aim today really is just to help us to understand these words a little more, to have more of a sense of what they're about. Firstly then, what is God's kingdom? So let's take that word kingdom for starters. A kingdom requires a king, yeah? That's kind of self-explanatory. And last time we were talking about how God is our Father in heaven, and that each one of us have amazingly been brought into this family relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is a relationship of incredible intimacy and dependence where God really does know us and care for us and care about our needs. You know, God is also our He's a king over all kings. He's the one who raises up and brings down other kings. He installs leaders, powers, dominions, and authorities. They're all subject to Him. I'll just wait for the distractions to settle so I've got you back. The fact that God is our king and the king over all other kings, the one who raises up and brings down other kings, I think that's quite a difficult thing to understand, especially when you look around and see all the abuses of power that there are today. But the Bible teaches us that all power and all authority comes from Him and returns to Him. His rule and His reign are supreme. You know, nobody is above Him. Nobody is even remotely equal to Him. That's why we worship Him. And that's why one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord. So one day atheists are going to have to bow the knee and say, "You're God." One day agnostics are going to have to make up their mind and see that He's God. Dictators are going to have to bow the knee to one who is supreme. And one day Muslims, Sikhs and Hindus, your boss, your dad, your children, if they don't know God yet, they will have to bow the knee and acknowledge that He is King over all kings. You see, our God reigns over everything and everyone. He reigns over time and space. He reigns over the ending of time and space. He even holds the keys of life and death, the keys of our very existence. And there's no one like our King. Our King. And this king has a kingdom. It's the second part of the word there, king and dom, which is like the word domain. Our king has a domain, he has a right or a reign, a place of authority and lordship, which at the moment is primarily in heaven. You know, sadly, we don't live in a world where God's name is universally honored, nor do we live in a world where His kingdom, His kingship is universally recognized. So Hebrews 2:8 reminds us that at present we do not see everything subject to God. Not everything is subject to God. We've only got to open our eyes and look around and see that this is true. If God was truly in control of everything in the world, there'd be all sorts of things that wouldn't be happening at this time. And so at present, submission to the rule of God is voluntary, which has implications for how we should pray. And currently, heaven is the only place where God's will is perfectly done without restriction, limit, or opposition. His authority is not contested here. His lordship is not challenged. And so the prayer that we pray and the intention behind it is that God's rule and reign will increasingly be seen and its influence felt throughout the earth. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. What does that look like? What does it look like if God's kingdom comes just like it is in heaven? What's heaven like? Well, in this place, in this heaven, there's no suffering. There's no sickness. There's no crying. There's no dying. There's no sin. There's no despair, which is why everybody wants to get there, don't they? Have you found that? Everybody wants to get to heaven. They just don't want to pay the cost. There's no darkness in this place. There's no evil. Nothing is hidden, but it doesn't matter because there's no shame either. You know, we like to hide things, don't we? In heaven, you can't hide anything, but it's okay because there's no shame. All that is good and longed for, all that satisfies, is found here where God dwells in his kingdom. And so where God's kingdom appears on earth, these are some of the things that we should expect to see, which is why we should pray God's kingdom come. And whether we know it or not, it's what everybody wants, and it's what we really long for, that God's kingdom would come like that. We want a taste of heaven here on earth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait till I die to get to heaven. I want to experience that tangible presence of God now and some of the blessing of heaven. And so I've got some really good news for you this morning, because the good news is that because of Jesus, God's kingdom is near. Jesus began his work on earth with this proclamation. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent. He says, change your minds. Turn around. Stop living the way that you're living, because there's a new order of things coming. And I want to say to you as well, some of you need to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. I think sometimes we can be overwhelmed by the problems and the troubles, and we can be cynical about what God is doing in the earth today. We long to see so much more, and we've been disheartened and disappointed by things of the past. And I believe that there's a word for us today. God says, repent, turn around. I want you to see, Jubilee Church, that the kingdom of God is near to you. The kingdom of God is near to us today. And Jesus sent out his disciples, didn't he, saying, proclaim it as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And soon after they started to proclaim it, soon after that declaration was made, that prophetic statement was made, it was God's kingdom is here. Not only that God's kingdom is near, but God's kingdom is here. It's actually here. Because all the signs of the imminence of God's kingdom started literally to appear on earth. They laid their hands on sick people and they were healed. They spoke to demons and they fled. They preached the gospel and lives were transformed and the dead were raised. Because there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no demons in heaven. The kingdom of God was near and now it's here. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, he says, by the finger of God, I cast out demons. And you know this, that the kingdom of God has come upon you. When you see those signs, Jesus says, you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. And in Luke chapter 17, Jesus says, they're not going to say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It's already here. And that's because Jesus' coming, the message that he preached, and the signs that followed marked the beginning of an invasion of heaven to earth. An invasion started with Jesus. See, all the good that was in heaven, all the wonderful things that we long for started to appear on earth through Jesus. God's will for his people was starting to be done on earth. And people that encountered his kingdom got a taste of it, and it was really good. They wanted more of it. And the crowds flocked to Jesus wherever he went. And this invasion, which started with Jesus, was taken up by his disciples and continues today through us, through his church. God's kingdom is near. It is here. But it's also to come. There's more. There's more. God's kingdom is to come. There's a guy called G.E. Ladd who wrote a book on this whole subject. And I'll just quote one thing from what he said. He says this, because he can put it far better than I can. He says, with the first coming of Jesus, we have its introduction, the introduction of the kingdom. With the second coming of Jesus, we will have its consummation. The kingdom will actually be here fully. We live between the times in the presence of the future. The kingdom is upon us, but it's not complete yet. The kingdom is in us, but it's not complete yet. The kingdom is moving among us, but it's not complete yet. You see, it's not complete yet. It's not fully here yet. There's so much more to come. And as we look around and we see this lack and this problem, this frustration and this longing, it's not complete yet. The kingdom is not fully here yet. And this means that there's so much more of God and his kingdom to come. So much more of his presence to be experienced. So much more of the miraculous to be seen and signs of his presence. So many revelations, more revelations of his glory, more than we can ever begin to imagine. There's so much more of God to come. How much? How much more? Well, much more than we have. But this is the true scale. Isaiah 9:7 tells us that of the increase of his government and peace, which is his kingdom, his government of peace, there will be no end. The increase, the continual increase. I don't know if you watched any of the film footage of the tsunami. And just to see it coming and coming and coming and coming, and you think somehow it's going to stop, somehow it's going to lower, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and greater, and it covered more and more and more, and that was tragic and dreadful. But this is also a wonderful picture of the kingdom of God, because actually there's no end of this, and it's going to keep coming, and it's going to keep coming, and it's going to keep coming. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Think about it. No end to his kingdom. No end. So how much more can come? Well, do you know, God only knows. God only knows. But a good start may be to ask, well, how much is in heaven? How much of the kingdom is in heaven? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's because heaven is to be the standard. Heaven is to be the measure, and it is to be our inspiration for all that is done on earth. Heaven, that place where God's rule is unopposed and his will is perfectly done, is the model that we are to follow. That's why Jesus tells us to pray that. Let your kingdom come as it is in heaven, because that's the standard. Bill Johnson writes in a book suitably entitled When Heaven Invades Earth, this is the primary focus for all prayer. His kingdom come. And he says, if it exists in heaven, it is to be loosed on earth. If it exists in heaven, then it has to be loosed on earth. If it exists in heaven, what about that? What about that? If it exists, what exists in heaven? What exists? What do we know about what's in heaven? Well, there's peace, love, and joy. For a start, there's acceptance, there's health, there's wholeness, there's provision. Whatever exists in heaven can theoretically, or theologically perhaps, appear on earth if we ask for it. If we ask for it, if we pray, doesn't that make you want to pray? If you really believe that whatever exists in heaven can appear on earth, if I pray for it and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here, just as it is in heaven. I want that here. If you really believed that, wouldn't it make you pray? Wouldn't you be addicted to prayer? I think that's exciting. Bill Johnson goes on to say that everything that happens here on earth is supposed to be a shadow of heaven. In turn, every revelation that God gives us of heaven is to equip us with a prayer focus. Everything that happens on earth is meant to be a shadow of what's in heaven. You know, this is how I prayed for my dad, who was deaf from 8 years old, to have his hearing restored. I just felt, I don't think there's any deafness in heaven. So, Lord, restore his healing, his hearing. I asked that that which was in heaven could be reflected on earth. This is how I prayed for somebody who came to see me recently who was struggling with anxiety. Lord, there's no anxiety in heaven, so Lord, would you bring peace in this situation here? Somebody came to see me from another church recently and poured out their hearts. And do you know, before he came, if I'm honest, I was having a really nice time with God. And the presence of God was there, and there was peace and wonder. By the time this chap had finished unloading, I just felt awful stuff happening in his family. It's awful stuff happening. And I just got to the end of it, and he said, I'm sorry, I've really ruined your day, haven't I? And I said, well, let's pray. I didn't have any answers for him. And as we prayed, God's kingdom came, and the equilibrium restored, peace came into him, into that room, and into that situation. I believe real change took place. I haven't heard back from him yet this week. This is how we pray about lack, about mountains, about issues. These things don't exist in heaven. And the only limit seems to be the extent of our imagination. I don't want to go too far into weird stuff with that, but I struggle to even begin to imagine what I can pray for if that is the standard. Whatever is in heaven, I can't even begin to describe to God what I'm asking for. I'm not sure that I know heaven that well yet. I'm not sure I know it well enough to be able to describe, you know, that thing there that we don't have here on earth. Well, I haven't seen it yet to describe it. Doesn't that just inspire you to worship? Doesn't that just make you want to come into heavenly places and touch heaven and experience more of heaven and more of God in worship? So that you can say, God, that which I saw in worship, that which I experienced, that which I touched, when you touched me, bring that here. I believe God wants us to be like lightning conductors between heaven and earth, to bring the blessing of heaven to earth. Ultimately, when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we are asking for the world to be put to rights, back to the way he intended it before our sin made a mess of things. That's what it means when we pray for God's kingdom to come. When we pray for his kingdom, we are praying for healing, for wholeness, for peace, for reconciliation. When we're praying for heaven, we're praying that the life of heaven will come to earth, but also that earth will match up to what we see in heaven. And here it is from the lips of Jesus himself, where he describes his role on earth, which he's passed on to us. And this is a very precious verse to us at Jubilee Church. It's in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Jesus says this, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we pray. And that's why we do. Because the Spirit of the Lord is on us to bring these things into our lives, into the lives of others, into our community, to bring healing, to bring liberty, and the recovery of sight. And so I just felt that the only appropriate way that we could finish today was to pray. And I just felt that it would be good to pray for anybody who's sick, first of all. I want to pray for ourselves. It would be good for us to pray for one another. And I've put a list of things up that we can pray for. And I think, first of all, if this doesn't become dead and not work, I'd just like us to simply pray through this list together. And I'd like you to just answer as I pray, yes, Lord, your kingdom come in that situation. Okay? And that's what we're going to do. So I'm just going to pray a whole load of things. And then I think at the end, it'd be good if we could just pray for one another. If you're sick, or if there's a situation in your life, or if you want to come forward, I'd happily pray for you. We're just going to finish with praying together, all right? I don't think you can talk about the Lord's Prayer and not end in prayer. So I'm just going to pray through a list of things. And then at the end, if you could just say, yes, Lord, let your kingdom come, all right? So shall we stand? So Holy Spirit, we want to pray for one another. We want to pray, Lord, for anybody who's sick, anybody who's anxious, anybody whose job is at stake, anybody, Lord, who are going through difficult family situations. We pray, Lord, yes, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, we want to pray for this church here. We want to pray for the church, Jubilee. We want to pray for the church in Solihull. We want to pray, Lord, for the church in England. We want to pray for its leaders, that they would be strong and kept from temptation. We want to pray for growth of the body of Christ all across this nation. We want to pray for many salvations. Lord Jesus, we want to pray for finances. We pray that churches would be well-resourced to reach out to others. And we pray, Lord, more than anything, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come in these situations. Lord Jesus, we want to pray for the town of Solihull. We want to pray for this town we love, Lord. We want to pray for the West Midlands. We want to pray for those that lead us. We want to pray for policies to be made well. We pray for finances to be well balanced and fair. We want to pray for the young, the vulnerable, the sick, that they will be protected and cared for in our society. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come in these situations. And Lord, we want to pray for our nation. Lord, have mercy on us. We want to pray for our political and business leaders. We want to pray, Lord, for the financial crisis, Lord, that is putting people into destitution. We want to pray for silly, silly decisions that are being made, that they be reversed, Lord Jesus. We want to pray for the National Health Service, Lord Jesus, that is being ravaged, the teaching service that is being undermined. We want to pray for families and parents and all authorities. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come in these situations, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there's a list up here. And you can feel free to pray for whatever you like. But I think it'd be great if we could just gather in groups of, say, three people maybe, and just spend the last, I don't know, 5 minutes just praying through some of these things. Anything else that comes to your mind, have a little chat first. Is there anything you would like me to pray for where you need God's kingdom to come, where you need change to occur? And let's just pray for 5 minutes or so.